follow in your Bible. Jesus triumphs over the failing house of Satan. This is what we are going to talk about. How Jesus' power and authority has damaged the work of Satan in the world. He's still doing and will be accomplished by the end of times. So in Luke 11, we're going to see a very short story, probably one of the shortest description of a miracle that Jesus has performed. But differently than others, most of the times you see a big amount of action of Jesus and then little explanation or reactions. This one is just one verse, one quick action, and a lot of explanation, reactions, and lessons. So Jesus here is healing a sick person, revealing his authority and power over Satan. In other people or us might believe in him, obey him, and be saved before he returns. Amazes me that though it starts with the healing or the casting out or the driving out of the demon, goes on explaining two other parables or similar stories about the work of Satan and what the role of a bad spirit, evil spirit is, and how Jesus explained about other spirits. So in other words, almost nine spirits come up in here, and explanations and discernments and teachings. And with all of that, the main purpose, the way Luke drives us, is actually to reveal who Jesus is, why he came, what he is doing, what is he operating, what his disciples, followers, his church, all of us should be doing in this time until he returns, when he's going to judge people according to their faith. So it is a story of a demon possession. It is a weird and freak story. It is a text that when I was assigned to, I says, wow, why me? But that's the Bible. That's the following. That's what came after Jesus teaching about how to pray. It is actually Jesus teaching his disciples the prayer that we all pray, Heavenly Father, which art in heaven. It is after Jesus telling how to pray in a personal relationship with God as a father who is going to give, you know, bread or spirit instead of a serpent. It is in this context of spiritual warfare that we all are. So there is no growth. There is no spiritual life. There is no health and physically health, body, mental, emotionally, without Jesus operating a completely deliverance from inside out. Even though we may acknowledge him, we may study about him, we may know something about him, and maybe we know some of things and believe some of things, unless we believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord and ask him to cleanse us, forgive us, and take everything that might be in us or might be in someone we love, we won't be able to serve him, to love him as he is worthy to. So to one of the shortest stories of Jesus' miracle in the Bible, Jesus fulfills his mission according to Isaiah, which he has already said in Luke 4, when we heard, we were here, it is preached, it is in the website, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, because he was anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. He was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovering the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. And in this account, we have one of those kind of duties Jesus was performing. Liking or not, being used to it or not, seeing it around or not be aware of it. This is what Jesus did and is still doing and needed to do in order to rescue people from their sin and from their maybe influence from the devil. In other words, Jesus was following his calling, his duties, and driving out demons as a regular thing in his ministry. And so should his disciples, including us. Simple like that. Not easy, but simple. Sometimes it requires a lot of prayers, fasting, focusing on God's word, asking others to be part of it, but a regular thing that Jesus did it, and so should we. So in here, we see his followers being instructed to do it. Healing, confronting the spiritual world, to release the people's bondage, spiritually, emotionally, physically, diseases, especially in those cases that the source is not only physical. So if you have ever gone to a doctor and he says, you have nothing, and I have been there a few times, the blood work is good, your organs is good, there is nothing that I can see, so you might think it's maybe illness of the soul, of the mind, of the worries. And maybe devil can be using this to oppress us. In some people, they really take over and use these people for bad or for their own disgrace. So the shortest miracle story. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Jesus cast out a mute demon from a man. The demon was mute, not the man in this case. The man is delivered from a demon. He is healed and immediately speaks. That's how we see what is written. The crowd was amazed. This is the first and prompt and big reaction of the crowd. They were amazed. Maybe because they could see not only or hear not only the man speaking, but maybe the man now saying, praise God, I can speak it. Holy be thy name. Maybe this person was trying hard, but he couldn't. Maybe he was working hard on his own flesh, and he could do nothing. Or maybe he was not even aware what was going on, but he could not express his gratitude, his devotion, his worship towards God. And maybe that's what he just did it, because the crowd were amazed. They were amazed. So this is the only and the last in a long series of conflict between Jesus and the devil. When you see this only one verse, you think it's the first thing. No, this is one of the last things Jesus were doing in this area. This is actually has started in Luke 4 when Jesus actually was tempted in the wilderness and Satan himself tried to turn Jesus away from the cross. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. Later in the next month, Jesus often defeated the works of the devil by casting out demons. Luke 4, 41. In another occasion, he cast out an entire legion of demons. We also heard this preaching here in Luke 8, 26 to 39. Another time, Jesus rescued a boy who was afflicted with a dangerous and diabolical seizures. The guy was going to be or kill himself. This time, Satan is silenced a man's tongue. This man could not speak because he had a demon spirit. He was unable to express himself fully, either to his neighbor or towards God. This poor man could not even say the words of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus has just taught his disciples. He could not be able to say Heavenly Father. He could not even ask God's Spirit because he was mute and demon-possessed. He could not do that. And no, because the demonic disability. I'm not saying that everybody who experiences physical sickness or disease are demon-possessed, but some are. I'm not saying that everybody either was born mute or blind or deaf. They were there because of a bad spirit, but maybe some are. I'm not saying that everybody that, has, difficulty to walk, they lean here or there, has disability, is because of demonic action. But some could. I was amazed when I came to Canada and I saw a lot of people like that. At first, I thought everybody was with evil spirit. And I realized that, but some. But when you don't acknowledge that, those people will never be free, will never be healthy, you'll never be delivered from that action. And some, or maybe most of us who are suffering physically illness or bondage that hasn't started with any agreement or partnership or any deliberate, allows to the devil, maybe later on starting having that because the disease. That disease brings you to a low mood, brings you to anger, brings you to feel unable to operate in the way you used to. And then maybe you come starting against God. And maybe that's the only gap the devils need to make these people, at least with difficult communication with God. This man was virtually a prisoner inside his own body. It was so because Satan. Jesus drove the spirit out, and by God's power, that man was able to be free to speak. And probably, this is my guess, and some commentators, he could give glory to God. Actually, the purpose that we were created. Why we were created? We were created to enjoy God and to glorify God. If a person are not able to do that, we as church have to help them. We as Christians have to do all our effort. We have to pray hard. We have to be cautious that people were created in the image of God for his own glory, and unless they live to glorify God, they will be missing the point. They will be suffering one or the other way, and maybe they will be serving devil's purpose, not God's purpose and God's will. That was the case of this man. He was a prisoner in his own body. Let us pause. And before we go further, reflect in our lives and on people around us. How many of us might have been suffering for some of those causes? How many of us are facing impairments that we were not born with, and doctors could not heal and not need medication? How many of us are having difficulty physically or spiritually to walk freely, to speak freely, to think straight, to sleep well. You can go and ask North End Clinic, the biggest walk clinic in the North America. They attend 14,000 clients now. How many people are suffering all sort of mental illness in a way that the health center offers a toolkit, a way, a better way to deal with it and to have a wellness instead of mental illness? How many people cannot sleep because the worries and the attack they are having from one source or the other? How many people are impaired for some of the reasons they were not born with? People that we love. How many people are addicted to some of the, you know, tons of things we are bombarded? Alcohol, drugs, pornography, bad payers, starving, poverty. How many of us are suffering to be alone? I would say the word in Portuguese, isolacionismo. I don't know if there is such a word, but you are isolated. You are like an island because you fought against your family. You can't talk well with your mother, your father, your siblings, your in-laws in a such way that you had decided to stay alone or to stay only one nuclear family. And maybe as a result of spiritual warfare, things that are not solved in the realm of God's will or God's kingdom, things that were put in there as a dart from the enemy and we were not aware of it. This person here was like that. He was mute. He was not born mute, but a mute demon, an adjective of this demon. So you don't know. You may not believe, but maybe people from Asia, I talked with Klose the other day, from Myanmar, Burma, Indonesia, they know what spirit world is in reality. People from South America, actually, I don't think it's right. I can't say that's correct because the Bible doesn't mention that. But in Brazil, because the Afro and First Nations and the combination in Portuguese, they create different religions and they have a special name for many demons. And because I was brought there, I know those names. And it's interesting because those people who manifest those things, who has that name, they behave equally all around. So whoever has that name of that demon, they behave likewise everywhere around the country. Don't be scared. I want to teach you. I don't like that. I was released from that. But that's something that happens. This is clear. Here is clear. There was a mute spirit in that man. Could be that some of us or some loved ones that are not able physically, emotionally, well, and they are not functioning well enough as a result of Satan's influence. If it's our case, if it's someone you know, today is the day that we're going to pray, you're going to pray, we're going to ask Jesus to do what he promised to do and what he came about to do. Because somehow Satan got the control of our part or part of our lives and someone's life, making it difficult to live, to respond towards God, to desire God in their life, and these people cannot. There is no way to preach the gospel. Oh, accurate, we have to preach, but to see the result of the gospel preached unless we first take the enemy out and deliver the gospel, and they will be cleared to understand. We want to be faithful, all of us, to be faithful to our friends. We want to be faithful to our spouses. We want to be faithful to our family. We want to be faithful to our church. We want to be faithful to our work. But sometimes we cannot, because somehow the hell came in someone's life and put us in prison. Maybe you or I can't say I'm not in this situation. We all could be. Maybe we have initiated a bad habit. We have started very small, and now this became a sin. And that sin we cannot overcome by our own effort. Could somebody just bring a little bit water? I think I've a lack of water. I can't feel well my mouth and tongue. Yeah. Maybe there are a lot of things that we first... Oh, okay. I didn't mean so fancy, thank you. Helps a lot. God bless you, sister. But maybe that can happen. There are a lot of things that we first start giving up, and then our rights went to the devil. We know that one or the other sometimes failed in their marriage. They never want that. They never desire that. But because some of these forces came to someone's life and made all difficult. Anyway, make this long story short. We have here Jesus who can help, who can deliver, who can drive out any demons, either demons' presence and possessed a person, or even actions in anyone's life, or someone you know, that this person can be delivered. And now we have the power of God to fight against sin, to fight against the enemy, to stand up, having the power of God, having Jesus in their heart, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of us have understood a little bit about Jesus. Maybe some of us have one day said, well, I think I can deal with it. Maybe we started. There was a decision to do better. And that's good. I remember, in my case, I was only 19 years old. I was already broken in my heart by a lady. And that moment, I prayed to God without knowing God. And I asked, God, help me. I don't want to distress. I don't want to lose my focus. I don't want to be, lost. Or you see, asking shall be given. Thank you, sister. Now I have two waters. Thank you. And both are good. But that's the thing. My experience can be not yours, but in my experience, I knew. Drinking wasn't a good thing. 3 times I drank. I thought I was only drinking 1 cup, but I don't remember the last, so I remember the first. And then I went to hospital. 3 times I drank, 3 times the hospital. Kids, listen to me, don't do that. I had one girlfriend. I had only one girlfriend, and everything went wrong with me. So I decided not drinking. I decided not dating, and I didn't date for 3.5 years. Were I saved? No. I was able now to live well and the way God wanted me? No. Actually, when I thought I was not doing those things, I was better. I was almost getting worse. And then Jesus came to my life. He expelled everything that was wrong. He also showed me it's not by yourself decision. It's not... You have no power. You are weak. You have no power against the devil. You think you're smart. You are not drinking. You are not dating. You think you are safe. No, there are tons of other ways to get lost. And then I acknowledge, I repented, I confessed, because I heard the gospel. Whatever was in me went away, and my thought was changed. My mind was transformed and has been ever since 32 years. Can I hear a praise the Lord? Glory to God. But there are 3 more reactions. The first one that is almost so fast, but for me is the one we should focus on, the work of Jesus, who Jesus is and how he can do things like that. But there were three more reactions towards Jesus due to the healing. But some of them, by Beelzebub, or Beelzebub is so complicated, but in the Bible now says Beelzebub, it says it used to say Beelzebub, difference in the last letter. The prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So, a second reaction was, he is doing this by Beelzebub. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. And the third reaction, that would be a fourth, actually, the crowd, the first group saying he does by Beelzebub, the second who says, I'm not sure where this source of power comes from, and the fourth would be from this woman, as it's written in verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. So in total, there were these four reactions to Jesus' healing. One was from the crowd, we heard, and that was massive and positive. In all of them, nobody doubted the healing. Nobody was questioning what has just happened and the ability of Jesus to drive out demons. But how he did it, from which source he did it, which authority he had, was in questioning or was for sure as the first reaction. The first reaction, they were blaspheming and criticizing Jesus. And probably if you read the context, they were the same group, the religious leader. They were claiming that this was the work of devil. They were identifying Jesus with Beelzebub. And that thing itself was wicked and pernicious blasphemy. Beelzebub was, in the ancient world, a pagan deity, one of gods of Canaan. Beelzebub was understood of the one who has the power, archdemons of hell, are the same Satan. So they were comparing Jesus with Satan. Since those religious leaders was denying that Jesus was the Son of God, so he's not the Son of God, he's not the Messiah, they have to come up with something. And they came up with this Beelzebub thing, trying to compromise Jesus' authority and source of power, and also diminishing them, because Beelzebub was also, by the Jewish, the king or the father of the flies. So they were saying, he's not doing this by God, and he's doing this by this God, Beelzebub, who is the king of flies. And they might probably would laugh about it. But they were wrong. They were inconsistent. They were antagonic. They were not understand who Jesus was. The second doubt, they were testing some others. Some others were saying, maybe he's the Christ. Maybe he's doing it by God's power. Maybe if he helps us to understand, maybe if he does this kind of supernatural extra thing in heaven, I will believe. Maybe some could be sincere, but wrongly sincere. Maybe they were trying to literally follow the Old Testament and Deuteronomy when they ask, if a prophet comes like that, ask for proof. Maybe they were trying to be zealous. Maybe they were trying to be correct and not buy any of things that could compromise their spiritual faith. But they also were wrong, and very wrong. And they asked for a sign. And Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to give you is Jonah's sign. And later on, we're going to come back for that. But that's the thing. They were wrong. Because by this time, Jesus had done so much thing, miracles, signs, healings, and a lot of demons, demonization and deliverance and casting out and driving out bad spirits. This one was just the pinnacle of it. Maybe with all that I have done, now did you understand there is no spiritual life unless something bad in you has to go out and something good and comes to you? So, it's not only acknowledge rationally about God's kingdom, it's to welcoming, it's to embracing, it's to bring to your heart and practicing it. That's what Jesus is going to tell later on. So maybe they want to believe, but they still asking for sign. They are still asking for something to see. I remember a year and a half ago when two Brazilians came here. One was a believer, the other was not. Both were engineers. They came to stay in a hotel. I felt so sorry for them in the airport of Toronto, trying to find a job. I said, come on in, stay home. So they stayed 2 more weeks around here. And one of them really looks very religious. But every day he want to ask questions about the Bible, not to believe, but to disbelieve. Every day he was trying me, testing me in a way that I would agree with him that God is not doing anything that he should be doing. Every time he says, okay, if that statue, you know, he's Catholic, if that statue give me one tear, if he blink to me, if he somehow move something, I will believe. I said, oh, nonsense. I was like you, but I was a kid. You are a grown man. You have 3 kids. You are married with a lawyer. You know you are a religious guy. You ask this statue to do something for you to believe? Forget it. Read the Bible. So he started reading. Of course, when he left, he was born again. Amen? But he has to go to the Bible, not to the sign in heaven. Maybe you're going to see something. Some people see this airplane and they see things. They are wrong. One says, oh, God is telling me, go to the Bible college. How do you know? Oh, there was these letters. Go, T, B. Oh, yeah. And then he went. And then he was failing every course. So this is not a joke. It's true, guy. I knew the guy. I knew he was from the field. He was a farmer guy. And in Portuguese, these 3 letters that go to Bible college also mean something else. So after the 2nd year, he was failing every subject, ready for everything. The principal asked him, he says, hey, tell me why you were here. Why did you come? Oh, God called me. How did he call you? Were you reading the Bible? Were you praying at church? The church understood? No, I was, you know, working with tomatoes. And then God gave me this word, go to Bible college. He says, you were wrong. He says, go to plant banana, not. You see how we hear God can be very differently, but you want a sign? Do you want a sign? Jesus says, I am the sign. The same way Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and they were sinning, but they repented. What sign they got? They got an almost dead man coming from a bellyfish, and he was supposed to be dead, and now he's thrown to the ground, and now he's alive. So everybody, wow, what a sign, eh? I would run away. But they had to hear this guy now because he was going everywhere now preaching the gospel. And what he was preaching, you are condemned. You go to hell, probably like that. Anyhow, they heard and they were saved. Jesus is saying, you want a sign? That's the sign. I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to be like Jonah 3 days, not in the belly of the fish, but in the earth. In the ground, and then 3 days later I will come, and this is the proof. This is the proof. This is the sign. I will be dead and alive after 3 days. And this is the message. I am the Lord of all. I'm the King of kings. I have power over Satan. I can deliver. You should deliver others, and we should believe and follow the kingdom of God. That was the sign. And there was a third reaction, and that reaction was interesting, was upon Jesus' mother. This was another reaction. And the woman said, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. For this one reaction, Jesus did not rebuke. Jesus actually accepted, but corrected. For sure, Jesus' mother was worthy to be praised. Actually, the Bible says that she was going to be counted in the history and remembered and praised to be blessed. Probably this woman was the first one to say that. Blessed is the mother who gave birth to Jesus and fed him, breastfed him. She might have thought something like, what a blessing to have a son like that. And what a reward that would be for a mother. But Jesus is trying to correct her here. He was trying to say to her that was not a result of good parenting. Probably Jesus is telling, is teaching well is good. Teaching the faith is necessary. According to the Bible, you have to do it every day, as Deuteronomy teaches us that. But he was trying to say, in this case, it was not only that, was not only the way he was brought up as a kid, has not much to do with the teaching well your kid. It has, but not all. But that was God's work. That was God's word, the word of God in action. That was the result of the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. In this case, it's Jesus' life. Later on, in his disciples' life. Later on, in Paul's and Peter and Barnabas. All of them have experienced the same. Paul, in the same way, he also one day was receiving blessed words from a woman. This is a man of God. Listen to him. He is an amazing man. He said, shut up and get out of her. So like that. Like the same way the mute. And she was. But that brought him a lot of problems. Because that woman was someone who, you know, knows the future. Or by devil's power, she was trying to help people around. And she was making money for her boss. And she was helping others with the counseling. In a way, they understood. So that thing brought Paul to prison, and he was beaten up. But the release was done. And that woman became a woman of God, and she could now serve the Lord and praise the Lord. So there is a benediction here, but actually it's not Mary that should be remembered here, but the faith she also had. It is not the she's blessed not to give birth or not to breastfeed, but to accept God's baby, to accept the Son of God, to take care, to love, and to obey God's word. She should be remembered by the faith she also put in Jesus, and she obeyed him and followed him, even though she was his mother. One day they said, your mother and your brothers are here. They are looking for you. And he looked to all everybody in the disciples and says, my mother and my brother and my family are those who obeys God's word and do God's will and keep and serving God. Those are, and Mary was one of them. So as a result of who Jesus was, the holiness he had in him, the power of God that he had in him, and also the obedience that he was towards God and was telling others to be. Keep the word. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. So because what he just said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it, people can be helped and can be blessed. So Jesus gives us explanation, and they are just self-explained. So Jesus first knew their thoughts and said to them, so he was answered to both groups, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and any house divided against itself will fail. Then we go on, and then he says in the verse 20, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So, in the logic of Jesus, in Jesus' logic, thinking or thought, he was saying, if Satan's goal is to destroy, and my goal is to reverse in what he is destroying, how can I be working for him? If Satan has put demons and diseases and impairment and difficulties in people's life, why he would use me to undo what he has already done with such a work? Nonsense. This is inconsistent. This is completely wrong, what Jesus is saying. Everybody knows, any army general knows, everybody knows that you can't fight against yourself. That house we fail. I remember when Canada was becoming Canada, they find out that in the middle of Canada, there was a fight. There was this father of Manitoba, Louis Riel, and 12,000 guys. They were not happy that Hudson's Bay trade fur sell all the land to this new beginning of dominion of Canada, or province of Canada. They were not consulted. They got angry. They said, we're going to fight. We can't allow that. And how you can be sea to sea, from sea to sea, if the middle is not yours? So that was a good fight. And that was a fight against them. Then later on, a fight against the Americans that made Canada united and entirely. So you can't have fight inside. Sooner or later, you're going to fail. How Satan can fight with him? Jesus is saying, that's nonsense. That's not possible. So the second, his conclusion is that, okay, so if not Satan, listen to me. If it's not by Satan who I casting out demons, it is by the finger of God. So he's using what they already know. He's using the same experience in Exodus 8 when he started that expression against Pharaoh and in Egypt with the plagues. So they knew the finger of God is against us and is doing this. The same way Jesus says, if I'm doing through the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come. In Matthew 12, he says, if it's by the Holy Spirit that I'm doing this work, the kingdom of God has come. Why? Because now people, I will be able to receive Christ, to understand Christ. If you are in darkness, if you are deep in your sin, or if you are demon possessed, if you are demon oppressed, if your life looks gray, you can't see, you can't listen well, you can't hear well. And I was in this stage for 20 years. And I can remember once or twice I was brought to church. Man, I could not understand one word. After I thought they would speak Greek or Latin. Maybe they were, but I could not understand either. When Jesus doesn't clean you, forgive you, when you don't repent, when people are under Satan's operation, they can't do much. And then comes the second reality. Oh, the same explanation. When a strong man, verse 21, fully armed, guarding his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone is strong as attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusts and divides up his plunder. Again, what Jesus is saying, I am strong. You are weak. We are weak. Satan is stronger than us. But I am strongest. I have much power. He is a creature. I am God. The kingdom of God has come. I am taking all his spoils. I am putting him away. Now I have recuperated and rescued everything. And now he goes back to the spirit warfare. When an impure spirit comes out of person, he goes through and plays seeking rest and does not find, then says, it comes back to the house. When it arrives, find the house, swept clean, put it in order, and then it goes and takes seven other friends, wicked ones than itself, and that person becomes worse. Guys, make the long story short. We don't understand much, but Jesus is saying, only to be delivered from the work of the devil, only to receive the healing prayer, only to feel better, even by God's power and grace, is not enough. Once somebody is blessed, once somebody accepts, once somebody understood, once somebody has been visited by the Holy Spirit, once somebody has been reached by God's grace, is their time to respond. So don't stop in the middle, because if that person is still not drinking, I'm sober, he's not doing pornography, he's not stealing, he's not dating, he's not lying. Once the person now is able to talk, able to listen, able to see, able to walk, but has not Christ in their heart, are not born again, don't give up, don't rest. And even if can be your case, if you are halfway, you're halfway, you were close, but you are not there. You're halfway saved, you are halfway lost. So where do you want to go? So you have to move. Jesus says, if you are, whoever is not with me is against me. Period. Either you are with me or against me. You want a sign? I explained that the sign is the message. The message that Jesus is coming back. Some people today, they don't believe in Satan. That's too bad. They should not believe in him like following him, but they should acknowledge that is a fact. Some people, even though they may acknowledge that, they don't believe God. They know God exists. They know Satan exists, but they don't believe. So there is no halfway. There is no safe place. Either you are this side or that side. So all of us know there is a God. All of us heard Jesus is the Son of God operating by the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, to deliver people. Those who are delivered, those who are blessed, those who are healed, should hear and listen God's word. Blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. We have to obey it to be fully healed, fully blessed, fully delivered with all the potential that God can give us. Can we do alone? Yes, we can do alone. Can we do as a group or a church? Yes, we should do as a church. The role of the ministry of Jesus is more than healing and casting out demons. It's feeding the poor, is liberating the prisoners, the oppressors, and all of things. Sometimes you can't do one of these things. Maybe this week, maybe you fed nobody. But as a church, we did. Maybe you could not lay your hands upon somebody, but some of us could have done. Maybe sometimes you cannot fulfill one of the things for that day, but as a body of Christ, we should and we can. And we get together, we get stronger. So Jesus is teaching us that the kingdom of God has arrived. And when the kingdom of God has arrived, people are freer. People feel better. People can now have the right to accept or to deny it. Otherwise, there is no free will. Otherwise, there is no free choice. Because how can a sinner choose not to sin? How can a mute decide to speak? How can a blind spiritually see Jesus? Unless we obey God's word and tell others that Jesus can help them where they are, and then we see the gospel preached. So are you going to finish with that and pray for us? Bring it to your life. Bring it to your family. Bring those teachings of Jesus. Though the center, or the most of it was speaking about demons and how to be freed of them, the heart of it is the Savior and the Lord Jesus operating in people's life. Maybe you are not the problem, you are the solution. And I hope you and I, as followers, as disciples, as a church, we can preach the gospel fully. That also counts on being filled with the Holy Spirit and in the authority of Jesus' name, who has the power and the authority to deliver and to free people. We can do that. And more people will come to faith. Our neighborhood will be a better place to live. Our city is going to be not targeted or not labeled by this or that, by the work of God in operation. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. for the teaching of Jesus so clearly about how we as a church, in the name of Jesus, should take possession of our family, our neighbors, our city, our country, and the world, because your kingdom has come. We praise you. We ask you the work of Holy Spirit to show us what we should be repented for, what we should be asking for, how you could work in our lives in a way that we be free, others will be free, and we will have a church even bigger and better by the work of your Spirit and not by the work of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen.